from Galatians. Now before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian, for in Christ Jesus you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Jesus Christ. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
You never could walk on water. You never could move a mountain or fly across the sky. But never's gonna keep you wondering if your day is spent doing nothing. Will it keep you up at night? Remember, fear is never a reason not to try. But this is our chance to break another wall down. Never look back, we're fighting for it right now. When they react, makes me wanna shout out, oh, 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 oh. Take a deep breath, we're living in the moment. Take a first step, this is what we've chosen. Oh, 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 to stand for something. Oh, oh, something bigger than me. It's easy to find resistance when it's something you're scared to witness, when you're hiding what's inside. But if you keep second guessing whether all you are is missing what it takes to win the fight, if you turn your back, then you'll miss the turning tide. Whoa, this is our chance to break another wall down. Never look back, we're fighting for it right now. When they react, makes me want to shout out, oh, 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 oh. Take a deep breath, we're living in the moment. Take a first step, this is what we've chosen. Oh, 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 just stand for something. Oh, oh, something bigger than me. Another wall down, never look back, we're fighting for it right now. When they react, makes me wanna shout out, oh, 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 oh. Take a deep breath, we're living in the moment. Take a first step, this is what we've chosen. Oh, oh, just stand for something. Oh, oh, something bigger than me.
And all God's people said amen.
Amen.
Amen. This morning we continue our annual sermon series, Crossflix Discovering Faith in Film. During July and August, we're examining all sorts of films, classic, documentary, award-winning, animated, and discovering where faith does intersect with film. This is one of my favorite sermon series of the year, as it gives us a chance to introduce the concept of finding faith and spirituality in secular society to friends and family who may not be particularly religious or who have a suspicion of organized religion and are open to those values of faith that are important to us in this congregation. Next week, I'll be preaching on the film Lion, which you can view at our Harmony Toluca Lake campus this coming Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. And the following week, I'll be preaching on the film Moonlight. And for that one, we will have a talk back with one of the actors, Ashton Sanders. So I hope you'll be here for that. That will be after church on that Sunday, the 23rd. Today, our film is not a documentary, but it is based on historic events from the early 1960s that I dare say most of us did not learn about in school. How many of you have seen Hidden Figures? Dorothy Vaughan, Mary Jackson, and Katherine Johnson were a trio of, quote, human computers, unquote, that did calculations for NASA in order to put the Mercury 7 astronauts into orbit. And they did their trailblazing work at the segregated NASA Langley Research Center in Virginia.
Not a great place for three of y'all be having car trouble.
We didn't pick the place, officer. It picked us.
You being disrespectful?
No, sir.
You have identification on me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. We're just on our way to work at Langley.
NASA, sir.
We do a great deal of the calculating, getting our rockets into space.
All three of you?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Yes, officer.
NASA? That's some. I had no idea they hired.
There are quite a few women working in the space program.
Damn Russians are watching us right now. Sputniks. You girls ever meet those astronauts? Mercury 7?
Absolutely.
Yes, sir. We work with those gentlemen all the time.
Those boys are the best we got. I'm sure of that.
Yeah.
We got to get a man up here before the commies do.
Absolutely.
Whole damn country's counting on them.
Yes, for certain.
Hard being of service is broken down on the side of the road, though.
Right, right. What, y'all need a tow or something?
No, thank you, officer. I think I got to just give me my... Just need to bypass the starter.
She's good at this stuff.
Woo! That a girl. We're all set.
Well, hell, least I can do is give y'all an escort. I imagine you're running late to work.
Oh, no, sir. We wouldn't want to bother
that
you.
That would be wonderful, officer. Thank you so much, sir.
Follow me.
I'm driving. Hurry up, Dorothy, before he changes his mind.
We're coming. Hold your horses.
Be quiet, he said, to follow him.
He didn't mean up and behind.
Dear Lord, I don't even know where to begin.
Oh, I'll tell you where to begin. Three Negro women are chasing a white police officer down the highway in Hampton, Virginia, 1961. Ladies, that there is a God-ordained miracle.
The brilliance of these women, who truly were hidden figures in every sense of that phrase, made possible John Glenn's maiden orbit around the Earth. In fact, Glenn refused to go into space unless the human computer Katherine Johnson had double-checked the calculations of the IBM, or the electronic computer. But before that, Katherine had to experience the indignity of the systemic racism and sexism that was just normal culture at NASA. And sadly, at most workplaces in America.
I said, whose work is that?
Katherine Goebel, sir.
Hello.
How did you know the Redstone couldn't support orbital flight? That's classified information.
It's top secret.
Well, it's no secret why the Redstone tests keep failing. It's fine for suborbital flight, but it can't handle the weight of the capsule and push it into space. Numbers don't lie.
And you figured all that out with this. Half the data's redacted.
Well, what's there tells a story if you read between the lines. The distance from launch to orbit, we know. Redstone mass, we know. Mercury capsule weight, we know. And the speeds are there in the data.
You did the math.
Yes, sir. I look beyond.
And how do you know about the Atlas rocket? That's not math. That data's not here, like he said. It's classified.
I held it up to the light.
You held it up to the light?
Yes, sir.
Well, there it is. Mm-hmm. Atlas. What's your name?
Catherine Goble.
Are you a spy, Catherine?
Am I what?
I said, are you a Russian spy?
No, sir. I'm not Russian.
She's not Russian, sir.
All right, then. We have nothing to lose here. Give her everything she needs to work on Shepard's trajectories without redaction. Are we clear on that?
Are we sure about this?
What's the issue, Paul? You heard her. She's not a spy.
I just don't think it's a good idea.
You know what I think's a good idea? Darker ink. I think darker ink's a good idea. Ruth, could you pass that along?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Catherine.
Thank you, sir.
This interrogation's over.
Our epistle lesson from Paul's letter to the Galatians affirms the ethic of Al Harrison, a composite character representing Catherine's supervisor. Everyone was on the same team, no matter what gender or race, and that was on Team USA. Now, every letter that Paul wrote to the early church, to Corinth and Rome, to Philippi, to Colossae, now in Galatia, it's written with the intent to bring forth harmony and unity and address specific problems that the community of faith is having, problems that keep them from becoming effective witnesses to the love of Jesus Christ. Now, in Galatia, as we talked about last week, the issue was with some teachers who claimed that a convert to Christianity must first embrace Judaism, that a Christian must also observe Mosaic law. Paul wrote this letter to rebut that argument, to insist that one comes into union with God through faith in Christ and not through ritual. Now, we've talked about how divided society was back in the days of the early church. Jews and Gentiles did not mix at all, which made Jesus' story of the Good Samaritan so extraordinary. Women were not people. They were property to be allocated among the men, as were slaves. And it was better to be the poorest, least educated free person than the wealthiest, highest educated slave, because slavery meant death. This reality makes Paul's words so very radical. At the beginning of the chapter, Paul calls out the Galatians and asks them, just how foolish do they really want to be? Do they not understand that, of course, the law had a place until Jesus Christ came? But now we who are followers of Christ do not find our identity in how well we observe the law of Moses, but rather we find our identity in how well we love one another. Amen? And here's why. Paul says, in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. And through your baptism, you have put on Christ. You have said, the only identity I have or that I need is Jesus Christ. Baptism is the great equalizer for us. Through the waters of grace, we find new life as beloved children of God. The old ways of living are gone. We are new creations through water and the Spirit, as we say in our baptism liturgy. And then after Paul lays this foundation, he shares these wonderful, powerful, poetic words. There is no longer Jew nor Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Through our common baptism, we are one in Christ. What matters is not a strict adherence to the law of Moses, but rather living out our faith in Christian community, loving one another, knowing that God's grace abounds even when ours fall short. Now, for most of us, this is good news. But for some who are accustomed to being regulated by a disciplinarian, as Paul calls the law, that disciplinarian that determines their standards of behavior, this isn't good news at all. When the law isn't present, they don't know how to act. So many times they choose instead to live and act out in an irrational fear of the other. They seek to shrink the power of God to fit their own construct, instead of celebrating the wideness in God's mercy, as the old hymn says. This irrational fear, this compartmentalizing of the love of God, in turn becomes the basis for racism and sexism and homophobia and all those other isms that truly prevent us from loving one another. For far too many decades, these isms were codified by law, as this film shows. The story of Mary Jackson, who wanted to become an engineer, is but one example of the overt racism of the day, the overt systemic racism of the day. Now, Mary was already a mathematician, and she began to work with engineer Kazimierz Cignarek in the 4-foot by 4-foot supersonic pressure tunnel, a wind tunnel capable of blasting models of the spacecraft with winds that approached twice the speed of sound. NASA scientists had to be sure that once the astronauts were up in space, they could safely land on Earth and the heat shield would withstand the heat and the wind of reentry. Well, Kazimierz suggests that Mary should become an engineer, and she scoffs at him. It's impossible as an African-American woman. He presses on in one scene and says, I'm a Polish Jew whose parents died in a Nazi prison camp, and now I'm standing beneath a spaceship that's going to carry an astronaut to the stars. Let me ask you, if you were a white male, would you wish to be an engineer? And Mary Jackson looks at him and says without missing a beat, I wouldn't have to. I'd already be one. Well, Mary went to court for the right to take the needed classes to become an engineer at NASA, and she became the first African-American female engineer at NASA.
Your Honor, you of all people should understand the importance of being first.
How's that, Mrs. Jackson?
Well, you were the first in your family to serve in the armed forces, U.S. Navy, the first to attend university, George Mason, and the first state judge to be recommissioned by 3 consecutive governors.
You've done some research.
Yes, sir.
What's the point?
The point is, Your Honor, no Negro woman in the state of Virginia has ever attended an all-white high school. It's unheard of.
Yeah.
Unheard of.
And before Alan Shepard sat on top of a rocket, no other American had ever touched space. And now he will forever be remembered as the U.S. Navy man from New Hampshire, the first to touch the stars. And I, sir, I plan on being an engineer at NASA. But I can't do that without taking them classes at that all-white high school. And I can't change the color of my skin. So I have no choice but to be the first. Which I can't do without you, sir. Your Honor, out of all the cases you're gonna hear today, which one is gonna matter 100 years from now? Which one is gonna make you the first?
Only the night classes, Mrs. Jackson.
About 18 months ago, Jim Wallace, an evangelical and founder of the Sojourners Community in Washington, D.C., came out with a new book entitled America's Original Sin, Racism, White Privilege, and the Bridge to a New America. He recently wrote that the theology, sociology, and politics of race continue to play themselves out in America in matters of both church and state, that racism is a sin, and a gospel issue and not just a political matter for us as Christians. That reality was asserted once more last month as the Southern Baptist Convention voted on a resolution condemning the anti-gospel of alt-right white supremacy. The vote capped a turbulent 48 hours at the Southern Baptist Convention's annual meeting. It revealed the deep racial tensions that remain in a denomination that was originally founded in 1845 after a split over the issue of slavery. Brothers and sisters, if it takes the church, any part of the church, 2 days to perfect language that certifies that white supremacy is antithetical to God, we have a lot of work ahead of us. Amen? Thanks be to God for the witness of Katherine Johnson, who responded to her country and to her God-understood calling, even in the continued face of systemic racism and sexism.
Where the hell have you been? Everywhere I look, you're not where I need you to be. It's not my imagination. Now, where the hell do you go every day?
To the bathroom, sir.
To the bathroom. To the damn bathroom. For 40 minutes a day? What are you doing there? We're T-minus zero here. I put a lot of faith in you.
There's no bathroom for me here.
What do you mean there's no bathroom for you here?
There is no bathroom. There are no colored bathrooms in this building or any building outside the West Campus, which is half a mile away. Did you know that? I have to walk to Timbuktu just to relieve myself. And I can't use one of the handy bikes. Picture that, Mr. Harrison. My uniform, skirt below my knees, my heels, and a simple string of pearls. Well, I don't own pearls. Lord knows you don't pay colored enough to afford pearls. And I work like a dog, day and night, living off a coffee from a pot none of you want to touch. Excuse me if I have to go to the restroom a few times a day. No more white restrooms. Just plain old toilets. Go wherever you damn well please. Preferably closer to your desk. Here at NASA, we all pee the same color.
Really clear, Kevin Costner's character is not the hero in that scene. Katherine Jackson is, rather. Johnson. Mary Jackson, Katherine Johnson. But I had to use it because we all pee the same color. Is there any other way of saying we're all one? That we're all alike? Yeah, go ahead. It's because we are. We do all pee the same color. We all are one in Christ. And so what does that mean for us today? If we indeed are free and we are one in Christ, then we will affirm, brothers and sisters, that it is in our baptism that we are called to work for a world that considers all people as loved and valued and equal. All persons are created in God's good image, and no one lives without God's love and grace. Amen? If we are indeed free and one in Christ, we will challenge anyone around us who demonstrates either subtle or overt racism in language or in action, because there is no place for that in God's kingdom. Amen? If we are indeed free and one in Christ, we will love our brothers and sisters equally without exception and work for justice and inclusion for all God's children in our nation and its policies. I was very disturbed last week by some of the language used by our president in Poland, as he referred to the West multiple times and the need to defend it from others. There was a great article in The Atlantic that I will post about religion and rule and regime, and I'll post it on my Facebook page because I've already preached long enough, so I'm winding down here with a great ending, John West. But we need to defend it from others, the president said. In part, the article said, the president defines being Western as the essence of America's identity. And when he does so, he's in part defining America in opposition to some of its own people. It's clear that we need to be on guard against any and all tendencies to return America to what it was in the days of Hidden Figures, either subtly or overtly. But instead, if we are free in Christ, we will work for the kingdom of God. And in the words of the great poet Langston Hughes, we will let America be America again.
Let America be America again. Let it be the dream it used to be. Let it be the pioneer on the plains seeking a home where he himself is free. America never was America to me. Let America be the dream that dreamers dreamed. Let it be that great strong land of love where never kings connive nor tyrants scheme that any man be crushed by one above. It was never America to me. Oh, let my land be a land where liberty is crowned with no false patriotic wreath, but opportunity is real and life is free. Equality is in the air we breathe. There's never been equality for me, nor freedom in this homeland of the free. Say, who are you that mumbles in the dark? And who are you that draws your veil across the stars? I am the farmer, bondsman to the soil. I am the worker, soul to the machine. I am the Negro, servant to you all. I am the humble people, hungry, mean. Hungry, yet today, despite the dream. Beaten, yet today, O pioneers. I am the man who never got ahead, the poorest worker bartered through the years. Yet I'm the one who dreamt our basic dream in the old world while still a serf of kings, who dreamt a dream so strong, so brave, so true that even yet its mighty daring sings in every brick and stone, in every furrow turned. That's made America the land it has become. Oh, let America be America again, the land that never has been yet, and yet must be the land where every man is free, the land that's mine, the poor man's, Indians, Negroes, me who made America, whose sweat and blood, whose faith and pain, whose hand at the foundry, whose plow in the rain, must bring back our mighty dream again. Oh, yes, I say it plain, America never was America to me. And yet I swear this oath, America will be. Out of the rack and ruin of our gangster death, the rape and rot of graft and stealth and lies, we, the people, must redeem the land, the mines, the plants, the rivers, the mountains and the endless plain, all the stretch of these great green states and make America again.
May it be so today in this country and around the world. May we have the values of liberty and justice and freedom. Amen.